Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, creating finished basements for family fun, fitness, and entertaining. Ideas at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. At 6 p.m. tomorrow, the state of Missouri will execute Lance Shockley. This is the first death penalty case to reach completion under Governor Mike Kehoe. Last week, advocates marched to the governor's office to deliver a petition with 31,000 signatures asking him to consider clemency. This morning, Kehoe announced that he has rejected those requests. He said that Shockley had committed, quote, a brutal and deliberate crime. The execution of Lance Shockley was, at one point, set for 2014. His appeals have now run out. 20 years ago, in 2005, Shockley was first charged with the murder of a Missouri State Highway Patrol trooper named Carl DeWayne Graham Jr. At the time, Graham was investigating Shockley as the driver in a fatal car crash. But then, Graham was shot and killed in an ambush. At trial, Shockley was the prime suspect. Prosecutors pointed to ballistics evidence from the bullets used in the shooting, and there was a strong motive for Shockley to stop Graham's investigation. Shockley has always maintained his innocence, and his supporters have spent these last months trying to save his life. Here to talk about Lance Shockley and his case, I'm joined by Mary Fox. She's the coordinator leading the Death Penalty Abolition Program of the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Mary, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you, Elaine.
Mary, it has been just hours since Governor Mike Kehoe announced that he will not grant clemency to Lance Shockley, and as we've noted, the execution will be carried out tomorrow. What was your reaction to this?
Sad. Just sad. Sad for Mr. Shockley, sad for his family, for all of those who have been positively influenced by him in the correctional center, and sad for all Missourians that we're having another unnecessary killing in the state of Missouri. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, hopeful that we are not giving up on abolishing the death penalty in Missouri. Mm-hmm. Hopeful that that movement will continue to move forward.
What were you expecting, that is, were you expecting this decision to come down from Governor Mike Kehoe?
I think you have to have hope to do this sort of work. So obviously we were hoping that the decision would be to grant clemency. But this was a difficult decision. It would have been a change in policies within the state of Missouri. When you're at the end of the legal system in terms of opportunities to change what has already been determined, it's always difficult to create that change. So was not hoping for this decision, but I was not completely surprised by it.
Mm-hmm. Mary, you spent years leading Missouri's public defender system. Attorneys in that system defended other death penalty cases, and I do understand each case is different. What can you tell us, though, about how these cases generally are carried out in Missouri?
In terms of how they are represented.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, there are many processes that a case goes through. There's obviously the charge and then negotiations as to whether or not the case can be resolved without a trial. If not, then there is the trial, the appellate process, the post-conviction process. And then if there is a death verdict, then the case transitions after the state process to the federal courts.
So there are many steps involved here.
There are many steps, and Mr. Shockley's case occurred in 2005. So mm-hmm. It's been 20 years that this case has been in litigation.
Mm-hmm. So seeking clemency, I mean, what does that mean? This was not a request to be released, correct?
This was not a request to be released. With a capital case or a death penalty case, there is also always the option of a sentence of life without the possibility of parole.
Mm-hmm.
So it would simply have meant letting Mr. Shockley continue to live in the correctional facility
mm-hmm.
until a natural death.
Right. So if we take kind of a step back and talk about the way or how Lance Shockley was sentenced to death, In the press release that was sent out this morning announcing the governor's decision not to grant clemency, Shockley is described as being, quote, unanimously convicted of first-degree murder. And it also mentions that the case was reviewed and upheld by the Missouri Supreme Court, the federal court, the federal district court, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, and the United States Supreme Court. What the press release does not mention, however, was the how in Shockley's death sentence. So it's true that the jury found him guilty of murder, but the jury also deadlocked on the topic of punishment. So it was not the jury that sentenced him to death, it was the judge. So, Mary, remembering that Shockley maintains his innocence, the part about the judges having made the death sentence decision, this is a major point that's been raised by his supporters. So to help us kind of understand this, how is it that Missouri law allows a judge alone to decide life or death?
The way our statute is written, if a jury deadlocks on the issue of death versus life, then the decision goes to the judge. In most states, if the jury would deadlock on that issue, then the sentence would automatically be the life sentence. In Missouri, there is a loophole that allows the judge to impose a sentence of death. Mm-hmm. There's been legislation introduced in Missouri for several years to remove that loophole. It finally did receive a hearing in the Judiciary Committee last year in the legislature. It came out of that committee with full support. It did not receive a hearing on the House floor and never advanced to the Senate. Mm-hmm. But there is legislation and hope that there will be legislation in the future to change that. Missouri is one of only two states that has that loophole.
So for other states, I mean, has this similar way of going about things existed in other states and it has changed?
I don't believe so. I believe this is as unique to the state of Missouri and to the state of Indiana.
Mm-hmm. And what is it about a judge that would qualify him, her, them to assess a punishment when a jury has come to deadlock?
Well, the judge can be the finder of fact. The defendant has the opportunity or the right to waive his right to a jury and to allow the judge to make a decision. But in this case, Mr. Shockley did not waive his right to a jury. So he had a jury that heard the facts of the case, but when that jury could not reach decision on death, then it transitioned to the judge without him waiving his right to have a jury make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way our statute is written. I believe it is wrong. I believe it needs to be changed. And I think that there will be movement in the legislature to have that changed.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the only case in which the jury could not return a verdict. And we have actually executed people where the verdict was 11-1 for life, but the jury decided to proceed with a sentence. The judge decided to proceed with a sentence of death.
Mm-hmm. In your experience, going back to what the Missouri governor can do, is it difficult to convince a Missouri governor to issue a pardon or to grant clemency?
So it's not a pardon. It is granting of clemency. And the clemency was last granted by Judge Mel Carnahan in, I believe, 1999 for when Pope John Paul II came to St. Louis and personally asked the governor to grant clemency to a person on death row who at that time was scheduled to be executed when the Pope was here.
Mm-hmm.
The governor granted that clemency request.
In 1999.
In 1999.
Mm-hmm.
The only other clemency requests that have been granted have been when the person has been determined to be so mentally ill that they do not qualify to be executed under our statute.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for also clarifying. It was not a pardon. It is for clemency, and Missouri and Indiana are the only two states which allow a judge to issue a death penalty decision. Now, you're advocating for...
If the jury cannot reach that decision.
If the jury cannot reach that. Now, you are advocating for Lance Shockley not to be killed by the state, but in a death penalty case, there's also the side of the victim, and in this case, it is the family of Carl DeWayne Graham Jr. And earlier this year, during a legislative hearing, the brother of Carl DeWayne Graham Jr. testified against a proposed bill to expand the post-conviction rights of defendants awaiting a death penalty, and in his testimony, Robert McMullen pointed out that the family had already waited 20 years. He said, quote, "Time marches on, but the longing for closure and justice never goes away." Mary, what would you say that is to someone who feels that this execution should happen because the victim's family has been waiting for closure for all these years?
I think the question we really need to ask ourselves is, what is justice? So we often hear in the legislature or in hearings in the court that someone says, I need justice, and that justice is the execution of this person. And I think if you look at scholarly articles on this issue, what you will find is that even the execution does not bring closure to many of the families, and it does not relieve the trauma that they have gone through. It is definitely, no question about it, a horrendous thing that has happened to the Graham family. And I agree that it would be nice to have this process resolved in a much better time frame. And it would be if we did not have a death sentence. It is because of the death sentence that the process takes so long.
Mm-hmm. Shockley's attorney has argued that there is untested DNA evidence that could exonerate his client. And because of that, there were calls for the governor to appoint something called a board of inquiry. Was that an option that you were hoping for?
I think that's always an option that a governor can use. We have to ask ourselves, why are we not testing the DNA? You know, DNA didn't even exist back in the 1980s when we brought the death penalty back. We have this available to us. It could give us some information that could be helpful in resolving this question where Mr. Shockley has maintained his innocence since 2005. So yes, I'm surprised that we did not make the decision either through the courts or through a board of inquiry to test the DNA.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll continue this conversation about the state of Missouri's death penalty and reacting to the news that Governor Mike Kehoe has rejected calls for clemency ahead of Tuesday's scheduled execution of Lance Shockley. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from the St. Louis Public Library Foundation. During these challenging times, free access to digital resources is a necessity. You can help our community stay connected. Support your St. Louis Public Library at slpl.org.
Welcome back. I'm Eileen Cha. We're talking today about the upcoming execution of Lance Shockley, the first death penalty case to reach completion under Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe. This morning, Kehoe announced his rejection of Shockley's appeal for clemency. Shockley's execution is scheduled for tomorrow, Tuesday, October 14th at 6 p.m. Joining me to share response to this news and to talk about Missouri's death penalty is Mary Fox. She's coordinator of the Death Penalty Abolition Program with the Archdiocese of St. Louis. And to add another voice to this conversation, I'm also joined by Heidi Moore. She's the executive director of the group Missourians to Abolish the Death Penalty. Heidi, welcome.
Thank you.
Heidi, I'd like to get first your reaction to the news that was announced this morning. Were you expecting this decision from the governor?
I was not expecting it. I should have been, but since the beginning, I had a sliver of hope. As Mary said, we all have to have the hope to be able to do the work. But I had a hope because Governor Kehoe was not Parsons, and I had hope that he would do the right thing and choose life, especially in a case that's riddled with so much doubt and based entirely on circumstantial evidence.
Mm-hmm. And when you say that because Kehoe is not Parson, what do you mean by that?
Parsons, in the past 5 years, Missouri has executed 12 people, and nationally we're ranked third in state execution rates. It is my understanding that for most Missourians had given up hope that Parsons would grant clemency or even give it due diligence. And the fact that Governor Kehoe was our first Catholic governor since 1981, and given the fact that he was not Mike Parsons, who everyone that I've spoken with and who has reached out to me had basically just given up hope that he would even consider clemency, that we believed that Governor Kehoe might adhere to his pro-life beliefs. And give Lance Shockley a chance to live, or as Mary just said, at a minimum, the Board of Inquiry. There is a reason that governors can grant pardons, clemency, and boards of inquiry, because courts make mistakes. And it is obvious in Governor Kehoe's statement that he really did not pay a lot of attention to the Lance's lawyers and legal team on the issues in this case that were brought up. And I know we're not going to get into those, and of course I'm not a lawyer, but governors can fix those mistakes. And Governor Kehoe has chosen not to use his power to do that.
One of the things that you were part of doing, Heidi, was an effort that delivered 31,000 signatures to Governor Kehoe asking for clemency. What has stood out to you in that effort? You know, what did people tell you about why they opposed the death penalty?
So there are various reasons to oppose the death penalty. Some people oppose it for fiscal reasons. It is more costly to sentence someone and to go through with an execution from the beginning, from the court process through, than it is to let someone live in prison and life without parole. There were a lot of pro-life people speaking out with me and with others and about this being a pro-life issue. There are also people who just believe that all human life is worthy, but they may not be calling themselves pro-life. The facts that in this case were entirely circumstantial and there was so much doubt, that's another reason why so many Missourians in this case specifically were supporting clemency, because there was just too much doubt to move forward. And research presented to the governor showed that Missourians, even those that support capital punishment, they also supported clemency for Lance Shockley.
Mary, I want to come to you because of the work that you've done in the past. You're now working with the Archdiocese, but you led the public defender system for many years. Talk with us about the role of faith. You mentioned hope, but what is the role of faith in the work that you're doing?
Well, I think it is the respect of the dignity of life that, Heidi mentioned. So the Catholic Church has evolved over the years in terms of its position on the death penalty. And beginning with Pope John Paul II, when he came here to St. Louis in 1999, every subsequent pope has said that we must work to abolish the death penalty, that it is important that we respect the dignity of life, even if it is a person who has committed an evil act, that we must still respect the dignity of their life and give them a chance to reform. And I believe that position of the Catholic Church, and I support it. And I was so happy that Archbishop Rozanski here in St. Louis has been so supportive of our death penalty abolition. He came from a state where they do not execute people. Missouri is one of only 23 states that has the death penalty and is executing. And as Heidi mentioned, we are one of the states that has executed the most people in the last several years. So my observation as an attorney watching these cases go through the system, I know that there are flaws in the system. It's a human system, and we don't always get it right.
Lance Shockley has many supporters, not just you, Mary, or Heidi. That includes a prison guard named Jonathan Evans. In a video that was submitted to the governor's office as part of the clemency appeal, Evans talked about Lance Shockley's life as an inmate and mentioned that Lance was placed in an honor house, which requires years of perfect behavior.
Lance's role is very important, I would have to say. Just seeing him around helps the other inmates kind of keep their head up and stay positive. He's always down to listen to other inmates and their issues and try to help them talk them through it. especially when they're going through hard times. You know, family is very important to him, and he tries to make sure they feel like they're family when he's around as well. He's very important in this institution when it comes to being a positive in a positive morale sense. He's helped both, not only the residents that are inside the prison, but also some of my coworkers as well, kind of keep their head up and their faith up.
That was Corrections Officer Jonathan Evans praising Lance Shockley in a video produced as part of Shockley's request for clemency. Heidi, you worked at the Potosi Correctional Center where Shockley has spent many years. What can you tell us about that place and what it would mean for Lance to be in an honor dorm?
Thank you. I was the institutional parole officer for the entire prison. It's been nearly 20 years ago, so there have been some changes. For Lance to be in the honor dorm, that is based upon good behavior. It is a privilege. He was able to have a job. He was able to have visits and food visits and go in and out around the prison grounds. Because Missouri has mainstreamed our death, our capital punishment men under a sentence, that means they don't live in a death row like you see in the movies or on TV or in other states. Correctional staff interact then with all of the men under a death sentence in a way differently than if they just had a death row and only those employees interacted with people. Mm-hmm. I have been in contact with some other Department of Corrections employees who have not spoken up, like the brave correctional officer who participated in the video, and they have approached me and said, "We don't want Lance to die. Lance should not be executed. We should not have to participate in this state-sanctioned murder, not just of Lance, but in general." It is very hard on staff. It can be very hard on staff. And then as someone such as Lance, who was involved so heavily in the Department of Corrections, he ministered to other men before their execution. He was a leader that Department of Corrections staff called up on to help them. And I say that while Lance's legal team is in court right now, because Department of Corrections is denying Lance his chosen spiritual advisor, who is an ordained minister and missionary. Lance is allowed to choose his spiritual advisor, and the same Department of Corrections that has been leaning on Lance to help within the prison all these years is denying his chosen spiritual advisor.
Mm-hmm. Heidi Moore is the executive director of the group Missourians to Abolish Death Penalty, and Mary Fox is coordinator of the Death Penalty Abolition Program for the Archdiocese of St. Louis. Mary and Heidi, thank you for joining us today and providing some background on the work that you're doing and that you continue to do even with the decision that has been handed down by Governor Mike Kehoe.
Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.